Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Bianca.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Sarah. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than to start a podcast while we were all living La Vida Loca. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck it. Every week I do this, I fuck it.
And it's a really good description of what it really was. Living La Vida, fuck it.
I'll start it from that bit again.
Okay.
Take two.
We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than to start a podcast while we were all living La Vida lockdown. But now we're free.
Yay!
So we take aim at one topic each week with a bottle or three of it all.
Sarah, I don't know. What out there. I heard nothing.
What just happened?
I don't know.
Oh, Christ.
So, it's going to take you 400 years to
edit.
Yeah, sorry, Amy. Right, ladies, what are we drinking?
A lot. That's all I'm going to say.
Clearly.
I am drinking our Palazzo Pinot Grigio. This bottle was actually started when Bianca's daughter came and stayed for 2 weeks, and her and I got to chatting and we opened a bottle of wine. So I'm going to drink this and then I'm going to wander off and find something else. So bear with me, people.
Just letting you all know, she is over the age of 18.
There
is
no, she's 19.
I'm sorry, keep going.
No, it's your shot.
I legit don't even know where we are.
Well, okay, all right. On to me then. Since I'm Captain Interrupty tonight, I am drinking Grand Le Marins Bordeaux Sauv Blanc. I picked this up from Aldi for $8, so it's bound to be fantastic.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wish me luck, people. Yeah.
Don't die.
Keep listening, see if I make it to the end.
That seems to be a running theme of the week, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always just waiting to see if Bianca dies.
Yeah. Well, this week I'm drinking the Innocent Bystander Rose Moscato.
It's rosé. I keep correcting you.
Yeah, she does. You know what? I like annoying her, so it's more fun. Anyway, I got mine from Dan Murphy's because I shop there a lot.
It is a really good Moscato. I don't like Moscato, but I actually like that one.
Yeah, it's really nice. So, Amy, what is our topic for tonight?
Our topic for tonight is song lyrics. What do they actually mean? So there are some songs that we immediately determine the meaning of because they're so obvious that it takes one listen to understand it. Then there are other ones that go right over our head, and it takes several listens to understand exactly what these songs mean. So you listen to it a couple of times, like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, like Informer. You're burning a bit of a day to put them down.
That took like several listens to just get the words down. I still don't think I've got them right. And then for the meaning underneath, oh, yeah, that was a whole other thing. Anyway, some artists embed hidden meanings into songs because at the time they wrote it, the true meanings, if they had been said in black and white, might have been considered not socially acceptable, immoral, or in some cases actually illegal. Nowadays, we have a code of conduct which dictates what can be played publicly on TV and on the radio. However, on many platforms, such as the one you may be listening to this podcast on, they're not so restrictive. So, I mean, basically, you can upload content, as we have discovered through doing this podcast, without anybody monitoring you whatsoever. Mm. So we're not as restricted in terms of what we're allowed to say and what we're not allowed to say anymore. Now, a good example of this is songs that refer to illicit drug use. So I'm talking about things like cocaine, marijuana, heroin, LSD, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's pretty much what people would consider party drugs. So many performance artists have described their drug use in songs throughout the ages. The famous song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds by the Beatles is reportedly to be about the band's use of LSD in the 60s. Now, if you listen to the song, it's pretty bizarre, but it came from the album Yellow Submarine, which is also the whole album's pretty bizarre if you've ever listened to it. It's a little weird. Ooh, cuckoo, ka-choo for you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I am the Eggman.
I am the walrus.
I'm just happy to talk to you.
My name is cuckoo, ka-choo.
Anyway, so when you think about how much LSD the Beatles probably would have consumed in the 60s, you have an appreciation of why that album was particularly strange. Now, initially, the band denied Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds was an acronym for LSD, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, LSD.
Yeah.
However, Paul McCartney has apparently since confirmed that that is, in fact, what the song is about. I have no actual source for this. Don't ask me about it. I don't know. The internet said so, so don't ask me. That's all I know about it.
Must be true. The internet said so.
Yeah. Anyway, so these days, anything goes. All you have to do is slap a coarse language sticker on it, and you can say whatever you want, just like what you hear in this podcast. There is less hidden meanings in songs these days, because you can pretty much say whatever you want. I mean, the worst thing that could possibly happen to you is you get sued by Kanye West, but, I mean, unless you're hiding under a rock, I mean, who hasn't been threatened to be sued by Kanye West? Seriously.
Probably threatened to sue himself. Yeah, no.
One of his multiple personalities. Hey, he's going to sue me now. Woohoo. Okay, so in researching this topic, I was also fascinated about songs that had hidden shit in them if you play them backwards. Yes.
Ooh, yes.
Sometimes the ones that you play backwards, there's like hidden words and things like that in them. I didn't want to go too far into this because, I mean, the younger generation might go, well, how do you play a song backwards? Do you have to Google it being played backwards? Well, once upon a time, my young friends, you could simply pop a record into the record player and play it backwards. That was a thing. You could do that. So just a quick mention for some of these songs that if you do actually play them backwards, there are words in them. So Queen, Another One Bites the Dust, apparently the backward message is start to smoke marijuana. Judas Priest, Better By You, Better Than Me. If you play it backwards, it says do it. The Beatles, do it. Revolution.
Sorry.
The Beatles, Revolution, number 9. The backwards message is turn me on, dead man.
Okay.
Again, the LSD. Let's not judge these people, okay? No, they came up with some pretty good tunes, okay? Yeah. And then my last one is Slayer, Hell Awaits. And the backwards message is Join Us. Interesting. Yeah. I definitely recommend that you go and have a look at some of these backward messages. I'm not going to go into it too much, but they are very amusing. So kicking off the two songs that I have chosen, the first song that I wanted to talk about was Every Breath You Take by The Police. So this song was written by Sting, who was a member of the band called The Police. Now, Sting has told multiple media outlets that it still surprises him to this day that so many people think it's a love song.
Right?
So it's bizarre.
It totally is a love song.
Yeah.
No. Look, you need to look at it from a different perspective. But it's still a love song. I'll explain it when I do mine, okay?
I'm looking at it from the perspective of the person who wrote it. So he knows exactly what it was meant to mean. So, yeah. Unless you've been living under a rock, you will be familiar with the song lyrics. But if you don't know what the song lyrics are, I shall sing them for you. Well, I'm not going to sing them. I'm going to say them. It goes like this. Every breath you take, every move you make, I'll be watching you. How is that not creepy?
Yeah.
I don't care if it's about somebody who's in love with another person. That's still creepy.
Yeah, creepy as all hell, but he loves her so much.
Well,
love song.
I'll get to what it actually meant. But anyway, so if you put some soft rock music behind it, people think it's a love song for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Sting himself said it was about the obsession with a lost lover and the jealousy that follows. Now, this makes sense if you know what was going on in Sting's personal life at the time he wrote this song. He left his wife for another woman. Problem is, the other woman was his wife's best friend. And she lived next door.
Oh, damn.
She literally probably was watching him every step. Yeah. Oh, and plotting her revenge. Poor bitch. She
lived next door. That's crazy.
And it's her best friend. So that was not okay. The dude was a great songwriter. I'll definitely say that. But he wasn't real smart about not shitting where you eat, to say the least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the second one I wanted to talk about was I Shot the Sheriff by Bob Marley. Now, personally,
I did not shoot the deputy.
Personally, I love Bob Marley's music. I have a Bob Marley record, which is like a greatest hits one that was my dad's. And I play it a lot because I love the reggae feel. A lot of the political stuff that's in his music. I'm a big Bob Marley fan. I was shocked to find out what this song actually meant. I just assumed because you were talking about shooting a sheriff but not the deputy, it had something to do with his political stuff. But looking into it, no, that's not what it means.
Ooh.
So many have theorized that it's all about political stuff. But it's been widely recognized that, in fact, this reggae classic from 1973 is a protest song against birth control. Apparently, Marley strongly objected to one of his longtime girlfriends using the pill. I mean, this dude had like so many kids. I meant to look this up before I started recording it. I didn't, but I know he had a lot of kids and lots of like wives and partners and girlfriends and stuff. Anyway, so the sheriff in the song is actually referring to the doctor who prescribed her birth control. Mm. Now, I'll just put it out there. He never actually shot anyone as far as we know. A New Jersey Supreme Court declared in 2014 that describing committing a crime in song lyrics could not be used as evidence that you actually did it, i.e. it's not a confession.
No, it's hearsay.
Well, it's not even hearsay because it came out of your mouth. So it's not hearsay because that's like me telling you I did something and then you telling Sarah and then Sarah being a witness. That's hearsay.
But if you sing it, it's a song.
You wrote it. If I wrote a song for you and then you sung it about murders that I committed, that's kind of hearsay. So anyway, you can't from what people I think take away from music is that a lot of people sing about their life stories and things like that, but some people just sing tunes.
Yeah,
they just sing there for the tunes. There's no real meaning behind it, or they're just trying to project a picture of themselves that they want other people to believe. Anyway, so. My disclaimer for the evening, though, is check your local states and territories laws regarding confessions in song form before you write a song about how you ran over your ex. Yeah.
Okay. And I just Googled it for funsies, and Bob Marley has 12 children.
There you go. See? Yeah.
One and done.
More. Same, right?
Yeah.
One and done. Anyway, so that is my segment over. I'm going to throw it over to Sarah. Sarah, what do you got for us?
Okay. So this week I've chosen one of my songs to be Bon Jovi's. Okay, it's Bon Jovi. I know this people, but I like to say Bon Jovi. Always. Oh, Amy, wow. This is not a song that goes womp, 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 womp.
Oh, Bon Jovi's go womp, 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 womp.
No, it doesn't. But okay. All right. So we all know this is a beautiful love song. Mm-hmm. But how many of us know it is actually about a stalker?
Oh, yeah. Okay, no, I did not.
So he's actually come out and said this himself. This song is about a stalker. So the MV or music video, for those who don't know what I mean by MV.
I didn't know what you knew by MV. I'm sorry, I'm not down with the times.
I'm not down with the kids. Sorry. MV, when I refer to MV, I mean music video. I'm lazy. I'm shortening everything.
Still one syllable.
Yeah, I know. Just MV.
Okay.
I like the sound of MV better. All right. So it's about a guy that cheats on his partner and she leaves him and finds herself another man. So how did the lyrics translate into stalker?
when you're listening to it, because it is very much a love song when you listen. It starts off with this Romeo is bleeding, but you can't see his blood. There's nothing but some feelings that this old dog kicked up. It's been raining since you left me. Now I'm drowning in a flood. I've always been a fighter, but without you, I give up. Yeah, I know. You're singing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I am.
I'm singing it. It's hard. But no one wants
to. I really liked this song until I knew what the words were. Damn it. Now I'm annoyed because I'm like, well, it was your own friggin' fault then, wasn't it, you idiot?
Yes. Anyway. Really does start off with how it's talking about how he's fucked up his relationship. He got caught cheating and she's left him, and now he's kind of given up on life because she's not there. He's useless without her. Then he goes on to say, and I will love you, baby, always. This sounds so romantic when I'm reading it, doesn't it? And I'll be there forever and a day, always. I'll be there till the stars don't shine, till the heavens burst, the words don't rhyme. And I know when I die, you'll be on my mind, and I'll love you always. Okay? So, hearing his confession, his love, and telling her that he'll be there forever and a day, always, as in, I will follow you forever and a day until I get you back. Even when he claims that when he dies, she'll be on his mind, it's like him saying that if he kills himself, it's because of his love for her. So he's kind of blaming her if he kills himself.
I'm gonna circle back to stalkers in song lyrics, because actually there was a lot when I did my research. But
yeah. Anyway. When he holds you close, when he pulls you near, when he says the words you've been needing to hear, I wish I was him with those words of mine to say to you till the end of time. Well, clearly he's not happy that she's moved on, and he's jealous of this new guy in her life that's giving her what she needs.
Clearly.
But to me, those lyrics there also shows signs of his possessive nature over her. Those words of mine.
Yeah, woof.
To say to you till the end. Those are my words to say to you. You're mine. Clearly.
Yeah, woof.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're mine. No, I am myself. I am my own person. I am not yours. Oh, my God. I'm going to shut up my feminist rant right now because I'm almost through my model.
But you done fucked up, mate. Like, you were the one who done fucked up, not her.
Yeah.
How is this fair? Oh, my God. I'm going to start
ranting. Yeah. Okay. Stop ranting because I haven't finished. Jesus. The next part is, if you told me to cry for you, I could. If you told me to die for you, I would. Take a look at my face. There's no price I won't pay to say these words to you. Just remember, this is just my take on things. It doesn't mean this is the actual meanings. And I could be very wrong.
But didn't you say he said that this was about a stalker but then left it open-ended? So you're interpreting the lyrics
in my own way. Yeah.
Got it. Got you.
It is about a stalker, but I'm interpreting the lyrics still.
Okay.
So to me, this shows his desperation for her and the fact that he would go to any lengths just to talk to her. There's no price I won't pay.
I've been there on the other side of that, and I'm just going to say, ew, woof.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm out.
Sorry, Mr. Jovi, the three of us politely declined.
Yeah. So the next part is... And I have skipped a lot of parts in this song. Well, there ain't no luck in these loaded dice. Baby, if you give me just one more try, we can pack up our old dreams and our old lives. We'll find a place where the sun still shines. So he's admitting that he really has fucked up by cheating on her, and he's pleading her to take him back so they can start again. Their old lives? Well, wasn't it their old lives that caused him to cheat on her? So why would she want to really go back and do that again?
A fucking man.
Yeah. But this could be a sign that he is planning on kidnapping her and leaving with her to find somewhere new to start again with her.
Wearing her face as a mask.
And like, putting the lotion on the skin or else to get the hose again.
Exactly. Yeah.
So then when you look at the MV, he actually goes to the new guy's house at the end of the music video. And he tries to talk to her and confront her to say, come back to me. And when she's like, nah, I like this guy, he destroys everything. He actually sets fire to the building.
Oh, does he piss on the ashes? Because that's my trick.
Yeah, it's really fucked up. And then I noticed something when reading the lyrics. Through all the, you know, and I'll be there forever and a day always, he's never saying I'll be there for you. I mean, that's a completely different song, I'll be there for you. Great song. Also love that song.
Oh, yeah, so good.
But
yeah.
In this song, it's just I'll be there.
Mm. You won't know I'm there, but
I will be there.
I'm going to be the same old asshat I always was. I'm never going to change. Even if you came back, I'm still going to be me and you're going to have to deal with it. Yeah, that's enticing.
But yeah, it's like, I'll be there behind that tree. You won't see me, but I'll be there. Ugh. Yeah. Okay. So, yes, but I still think it's a beautiful love song when you don't listen to the lyrics. Such a beautiful song. All right. So my next one. It's not really, I've gone a little bit off topic, but it still kind of had a hidden meaning behind it. So Little Richard's Tutti Frutti.
Oh, okay.
Tutti Frutti. Oh, Rudy. Tutti Frutti.
It's about reading, though, isn't it? What? It's about sex, though, isn't it? It's about reading.
Yeah. So the song was released in September 1955, the year my mother was born, and it was rewritten before it was recorded. And I found it really shocking, not because, you know, of like the reason it was it's just because, you know, I really didn't know this song was about this.
Okay.
So the song's meaning was actually about anal sex between two men.
Like that song,
I want to make you sweat to you. That song's about anal sex.
Yeah. Mm. Is it about anal sex? I thought
yeah, it is.
About sex.
I just thought it was about regular sex, but okay.
Yeah. No. Oh, well, I'm going to push it some more. And if you cry.
No, if you cry out.
Yeah.
And if you cry out. It's, yeah, like if you moan.
Nah, it's about anal sex, mate.
Okay.
So, well, this one's also about anal sex. But the lyrics that Little Richard actually had in the beginning were so explicit, it bordered on pornography.
Do you have the original lyrics?
I did actually look them up. And for the life of me, I don't know why I didn't add them. It was something hang on. So it was something like... what was it? Tutti Frutti, good booty.
They said booty in the 50s.
Oh. Yeah, apparently. Hang on. I'm going to quickly Google it. Yeah, Tutti Frutti, good booty. If it doesn't fit, if it's tight, it's all right.
Oh, God.
If it's greasy, it makes it easy. Yeah. Yeah. So those were along the lines of the original lyrics to the song. Oh, yeah,
they could not have played that in that time.
They could not have done that song with those lyrics in 1955.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And he came from a Seventh-day Adventist family. He was one of 12
Yeah, but that's where children. The freaks come from, mate. Anyone who's super religious, they have freaky, freaky kids.
Well, he's a minister and everything. So, you know, he's a man of God.
Those run. Yeah. Reverend Run.
Yeah, that's true. Although his antics are not, like, full-blown crazy like Little Richard, though.
Yeah.
Nah, that's because his wife keeps him in line.
But also, Little Richard kind of started off the whole rock and roll kind of scene, so he really went with it.
Him and a few other cohorts, but, yeah, let's not get into who started rock and roll, because that's a long debate. Yeah.
And I just have a few other little mentions for this, like Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes. I can't pass this one, too.
Yeah. It's... It was really about vampires in love originally. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, so that one's about vampire love, very much, you know, Twilight.
But with really awesome hair from the 80s.
Oh, yeah, totally. Lady Gaga's Poker Face.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one too.
So that one's about being in a relationship with a man but fantasizing about him being a woman, like wanting him to be a woman.
Yeah.
That's pretty much, you know, what a lot of people who struggle with their sexuality go through. Was it Harder to Breathe by Maroon 5?
I nearly did that one, but it didn't really match the story of what they said, of why they wrote that song didn't match the lyrics that well. So I figured they just, what they were saying is they just spewed shit out.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember. For the life of me, yeah, now I can't remember what it was about.
So basically, Harder to Breathe, you know, it's getting harder and harder to breathe. Well, it's because what happened is when they signed their record deal, they wanted an 11th track out of the middle of, like, nowhere. Right. They'd finished the album and they went, we need an 11th track. Songs. And they literally had to write something, like, in a few hours or, like, a day or something like that. So they wrote this song, It's Getting Harder and Harder to Breathe. But if you actually look at the lyrics, it sounds more like it's about a relationship. So I think that they took that, like, the pressure that they were under, it's getting harder and harder to breathe, and then wrote a song around it. So it doesn't necessarily fit. Okay. Like, I mean, the narrative is right. Like, I mean, I get that, but the song lyrics don't fit it. So they just...
We're talking about how hard the music industry is and how demanding record companies can be.
Okay, I had no idea. I've learned something new here, people.
Phil Collins.
You know another one that I came across that I also wanted to do, but I didn't want to do two stalking ones, but in the end, Sarah and I both covered stalking. It's a Blondie song, you know, One Way or Another, I'm gonna get you. Yeah, that actually is about the time she got stalked by somebody.
Actually, wasn't it one of her co-writers?
Yeah, it was someone she worked with.
Phil Collins, In the Air Tonight.
Yeah.
That one was actually about his divorce with his wife.
Yeah.
Slide. Oh, God. I nearly did Slide by the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah.
Same. I nearly did that one too.
Yeah, that was about teen pregnancy, whether they were going to get married or going to abort the baby.
Because they were from, like, a deeply religious...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they were teenagers. There's so many, like, so many out there that have hidden meanings.
Oh, yeah.
Semi-Charmed Life. Well, that
is
one...
that hidden? Is it, though?
It's not.
Plainly just, you know... about a couple doing lots of drugs and having sex. That's what it's about. But what you put a pop tune behind it, and then you take out the naughty words, and we can play it on the radio now. It's clear what it's about, even if you take the words out and you censor it. Yeah. Everyone knows. Why is it on the radio? I love that song, by the way. Keep playing.
Great song. Higher by Creed was also one that I thought about doing. That one, the lead singer wrote about, he was inspired to do it when he started practicing lucid dreaming, because he used to get nightmares a lot. So he started practicing lucid dreaming to overcome those nightmares so he could control them, so, you know, they wouldn't plague him at night anymore. So, yeah.
You know, another one I came across, which people are like, oh, my God, I'm shocked. I'm like, really? It's The Weeknd, I Can't Feel My Face. Everyone's like, oh, it's a love song about when he, like, falls in love with a chick. No, it was about when he was on drugs. It was about when he was on drugs. Like, I don't know why people thought that was a love song. It's about when he was on drugs.
Yeah, I've probably done more drugs than you guys. I can't feel my face. I've been there, mate.
I can't feel my face when I'm around Amy. She makes me drink a lot and then I lose all sensation.
I was just
about to say, I don't think there's been one drinking session since that song came out that Sarah hasn't looked at me, shut one eye and closed it off so she can see me properly and go, I can't feel my face when I'm with you, but I love it.
Another one I came across was another Beatles song. And I mean, we all know Beatles have hidden meanings, but this one it wasn't about drugs.
Okay.
Blackbird one.
It was Blackbird. So that one was about American protesters, and they actually wrote it about a girl, hence the term bird, because they used that term a lot back in the day. So, yeah, I thought, one that's not about drugs from the Beatles.
Maybe. It is not about them taking trips on yellow submarines or any other thing after they've been on LSD. Interesting.
Interesting. And eggs and cuckoo-cachoos. I just want to say how much I love the song I Am the Walrus. It's such a great song. I love it.
I know.
I mean, what was it?
I mean, if only someone would pay us to spew out shit like that. Really. Sponsors, yeah. Come at us. We're ready.
The dripping from a dead dog's eye. I mean, really, what a visual that you know,
get. The best song, though, was the one that just went, number nine. Like, what is the meaning behind that? It's probably Yoko Ono, but we won't go there.
That one was definitely drugs. That's the meaning.
Is that Revolution number 9? Because that's one of the ones that has a backwards message in it.
Oh, okay.
How did you get a backwards message out of number 9?
I don't know. The Simpsons did it too when they did the barbershop quartet. Girlfriend. And instead number of number eight. 9, she goes number 8.
Yes.
I love it. All right, Bianca.
Oh, my God, we're up to me.
Yes, we are up to you.
Oh, Lord help us all. Okay. Welcome to my TED Talk. I'm so far down in my world.
Thank you for arriving. We're happy to have you here, Bianca. Please.
My name's Amy and I'm an alcoholic. Is that what we started with? Or?
Yeah.
No, that's the other meeting we have.
Oh. That's okay, Wednesday. Yeah, fair enough. awkward. So I, being a basic 90s bitch like the rest of us, I thought I'd start with a basic 90s song, Ace of Base. I mean, who didn't love Ace of Base in the fucking 90s, right? So
they were the 90s version of ABBA for us. Yeah, they were ABBA.
So All That She Wants was a big hit. It really was. So the lyrics of the song are actually reportedly about young Danish women deliberately having affairs with men for the sole purpose of getting pregnant so they could qualify for welfare payments that the Danish government regularly gave to single mothers. Hence the line, all that she wants is another baby.
She's gone tomorrow.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. But look, looking into it, none of the members of Ace of Base has confirmed that this is what the song is about. Like, this is pure speculation, which is why I'm talking about it. Because I like to speculate wildly.
Okay.
Same.
And this is, and like when I first heard that this was what the song was about, I was like, oh yeah. As soon as you think of the lyrics, you're like, oh, this makes so much sense. Yes, so she's having a baby, and yeah, she wants another baby. Cool. But then when I was doing research for it, right? So another interpretation of the song by the internet is that it's about women using men to become, it's not about women using men to become mothers. According to other people on the internet, the phrase another baby in the song could simply actually refer to promiscuous women who can't seem to get enough of another romantic partner or boyfriend. You know, like,
they just love the D, mate. That's how I interpreted this song. Yeah, they just love the D. But that's how, even from a young kid, I always thought baby meant like another boyfriend. I never thought it meant like having a physical baby. I thought it just meant she wants another baby. She wants another boyfriend. Like,
oh, no, I always thought physical baby.
When I was like a young kid to teenager, I always thought that it was she just wants another root. Like, we're Australians, we say root. I'm sorry for Americans out there. That means sex. In Australia, we say root.
Or shag.
Yeah. I always thought it was just, these women just want many partners, and that I thought it was more of an empowerment, like.
Same.
Yeah, you can have sexual partners as long as you're safe And that's the thing. Like, you don't have to stick to one person, you know, like, you can, as long as you're safe, as long as, yeah.
I love how you go with, this is like an empowerment song, and I'm just like, this bitch is crazy. Why the fuck do you want more kids?
If you think about the context of the albums that we were listening to around this time, we had like Salt and Pepper on the same compilation albums. Yeah. So, like, they're just saying, you can be a man but be a woman. There is no slut shaming. There is nothing here. You do what you want to do, boo, and, you know, go girl. And then you get this song, All That She Wants Is Another Baby. It doesn't fit in the context of how these songs were written at the time. So my brain automatically went, oh, well, she wants another boyfriend because we just heard about that in Shoop, 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 Shoop.
Well, I mean, like my 10th birthday, my uncle, oh God, bless his soul, he was in his early 20s at the time because he was the youngest of my mother's siblings, and he had no idea what to buy a 10-year-old girl. Like, what do I buy my 10-year-old niece? No idea. So he went into Brash's, which doesn't exist anymore. That's how old this is. And he's like, what do young people listen to? And so I got for my 10th birthday the Salt and Pepper Very Necessary album on cassette. Holy shit. And I used to dance on my trampoline with my boombox loud.
I don't even think I'm old enough still to listen to some of their lyrics. And everyone bangs on and on and on about like Cardi B and stuff like that and how explicit they were. No. I'm like, dude, I got some words for you. Lil Kim, Salt and Pepper. Goodbye.
Salt and Pepper. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And don't forget Lil Kim. Like, Jesus. Some of the things that she sang up. Wow.
Goddess Queen Mary J. Blige,
Missy Elliott,
and Mary J. Blige. Queens.
Yes, queens.
Yeah. So, yeah, like that's what I thought it was about. So I was totally with the internet when I started doing my research, because when I was told it was about, you know, these Danish women wanting babies, I'm like, really? And yeah, there is like a 50-50 sort of split. So, you know, okay. I'm in 150. Yeah. So that was my first one. I just wanted to throw back to the 90s because I love the 90s. My second one that I'll bang into, and then there's another one after that. Let's see if we get there. So my second one for this evening is Bachman Turner Overdrive, You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. I love myself a bit of BTO. So I picked this one simply because my dad told me the backstory of the lyrics of this song probably back when I was like a late teenager for memory, maybe early 20s.
Yeah,
and
same.
I loved the story so much that it's always stuck in my head. I did some research and found out my dad was actually right. He didn't make it up.
Shocking.
Shit. My God. Way.
I remember the day he told me about this story. I was at your place. He had just finished watching the footy.
The rugby.
The rugby, not footy. Yeah, sorry. Well, it's still footy. And he'd had a few beers.
Of course.
I was there.
If Sarah was there, you were definitely there.
Of course was there, yeah.
But, and he sat and he was just sitting there, and then all of a sudden he just breaks out into this story about this song, and I'm sitting there like, uh-huh. That's cool.
Yeah, I know. Oh, good on you, Dad. Oh, God. So, I've tried to compile some backstory to it and actual facts. So here we go. I'll crack into it. So Randy Bachman, Bachman Turner Overdrive, funnily enough. So back in 1973, he was looking for something that was catchy for BTO's third album, and he was inspired by the band Traffic, Dave Manson, who's a member of Traffic's, his song Only You Know and I Know, which I haven't listened to it, so I can't even comment on that. But it had a dang-a-lang rhythm, as Randy dang-a-lang. Puts it. Dang-a-lang.
Dang-a-lang. Dang-a-lang.
And he was also listening at the time to the Doobie Brothers, Listen to the Music. I'm not going to say drugs played a part in this, but maybe. Maybe.
I'm going to go with, yes.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he sort of took, you know, bits of those songs and those rhythms, and he changed the chords, and then he added some power chords. And he, you know, it was a work in progress, but he had a great rhythm and he had a heavy riff. So I was reading this interview where Randy had, you know, he had a bit of a story about how he found the lyrics to go with this awesome rhythm and this awesome riff and this sick new beat. So he says, way back when my brother Gary, which is one of four of the Backman boys, he had a speech impediment. He stuttered and stammered. And for the ultimate tease, he wrote a song, The Way That Gary Spoke.
Oh, yes, I do remember this. Your dad did tell me this. I was there. Yeah. Yes.
And so, yeah, Randy actually called his brother up and scared him by telling him it would be on the album. So, yeah, the words just flowed out without any thought. So I met a devil woman and she took my heart away. That sounded good. Then he went for the chorus and he put it exactly how his poor little stuttering brother said it. And you ain't seen nothing yet. And he also stumbled on the forget. And the way he said, baby.
Don't you say it's nothing yet.
he's never
gonna forget.
Yeah, it was funny. Like, Randy said, yeah, went on to send it. He liked it as an idea, but it was never gonna go off. He was like, oh, this is just ridiculous. Like, this is not something that's actually going to project us into the music world. Like, this is not gonna take the world by storm. But then Mercury Studios heard it and was like, no, this is on the album. This is your track to they were like, this is going to just fucking skyrocket you, right? And yeah, so Randy thought it was a bit embarrassing, but it went to number one in the States and number two in other countries.
Wow.
And Randy says, like, I was a bit dumbfounded, particularly because as soon as it became a hit, my brother stopped stammering.
He probably stopped talking in general and hid under a rock.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, poor guy. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, that's the story behind You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. I love it. I personally love it. I think it's funny. It's so personable. And it's just sweet. It's endearing. Like, he loved his sibling. And who doesn't like
ragging on a sibling?
Like, oh, yeah.
In public.
Yeah, well, you know, you do that.
Oh, absolutely. What sibling
doesn't do that?
Yeah.
Right?
But now,
I mean, we all know
because, like, of me, you had a number one hit. So where's my royalties, fucker? Come on.
A fucking man.
Pay me.
Yeah. I gave you a
A fucking men. So my last one for this evening is Lou Reed, Vicious. Look, I really discovered this gem of a little story by accident because I have the album on vinyl which is a record for those. You put it on, you grab the needle, and you put it to the right spot, and you find your song by the Groots. Anyway.
It's like a turntable, but there's one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't go wiki-wiki on it because.
No. No. That will fuck up your diamond nib. Yeah, you don't want to do that because it's really expensive. This is my Transformer is probably one of my favorite albums of all time. For those who don't know Lou Reed and Transformer, you will definitely know, "Hey babe, take a walk on the wild side." I said, "Hey honey,
take a walk on the wild side."
And the colored girls go, exactly, exactly. Yeah. That's the last song on side one, by the way.
Important information there, people.
Yeah. So when you look at, like, the album, all right, so looking at the cover, it actually says backing vocals by David Bowie. Now, I'm a massive Bowie fan. I fucking love him to absolute pieces. Oh, my God. It's everything he does and everything he touched was perfect. He can't do a thing wrong in my books. Anyway, so it says he did backing vocals.
So there's a lot of things you can do wrong in a box, but apparently David Bowie can't do any wrong in the anchors. Yeah. But okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was looking up which song on this entire album that he actually did the backing vocals up, you know, on, right? So, in the end, I found it was actually Satellite of Love, which is the second song on the side two. While I was on this rando deep dive, though, I discovered that Lou Reed was actually a part of the Velvet Underground band, and that was formed in 1964. So this is a very, I mean, the 60s were a time of very much experimentation, and there was a lot of drugs. So,
mind-expanding drugs with no consequences. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Austin Powers style.
Mm-hmm. So the Velvet Underground band was actually produced by Andy Warhol, which you'll know is the famous painter. So,
what would you give to go to a party with Lou Reed, David Bowie, and Andy Warhol?
Oh, my God. I would literally piss myself. I'm sorry.
I mean, I'd give my soul, but I sold mine for a cookie years ago, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I make good cookies.
I don't know. I'd end up standing in the corner like, I've done too many drugs and I can't talk to anyone. Am I even here?
I don't know
anyone
anymore.
Anyone even listening to me?
Exactly. So I found that David Bowie, yeah, he was a fan, obviously, of all of it and the big parties that went on and all the rest of it. I just love that. So one day during one of Andy's famous parties, Andy said to Lou, "Can you write a song about someone being, like, vicious?"
And Lou, Sing me a tune.
And Lou,
it's my house, damn it. Sing me a tune.
I did quick hands. You know, I'm famous, you know. Yeah, sing me a tune.
Look.
Sing just, for me, fool.
I'm sing her a tune before you have to get under the tape.
So Lou asked him, like, "What do you mean?" And in, like, true Andy Warhol style, he just went, "Oh, you know, hit me with a flower." So Lou Reed actually took those words and put them in the fucking song, which is exactly what I do to you two. Yeah, no, I feel that. So the start of the song actually goes, "Vicious, you hit me with the flower. You do it every hour. Oh, baby, you're so vicious." I'm like, yes.
Phone this in when you were high.
I love this. And this is the first song. So this is track one of side one. And it's one of my favorite songs. And then Satellite of Love. And But Satellite Love, I just really like that it's the one little part of it is, I've been told you've been bold with Harry, Mark, and John, and that's only because of the three of us.
Every time. In fact, if we can bowl two more, we probably have like One Direction or something, right? Is that how this works?
Well, originally, actually, fun fact and another side lyric thing. So instead of being saying, I've been told that you've been bowled with Harry, Mac, and John, originally Lou Reed's lyrics were, it was like winking, blinking, and something else. Yeah, I can't remember all of the
that's
dot.
That's a fairy tale thing.
Yeah. And
dot. Is it winking, blinking, and dot?
Yeah.
And his studio was like, no.
I just had a horrible flashback of where that's from. Oh god. It's that bit in Titanic. Oh god, this is trauma. It's that bit in Titanic where the chick is putting her kids to bed and the boat's fucking sinking.
Oh my god. Oh, why'd you bring that trauma up?
Like the only sad thing about that movie is that scene.
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't say it. I just said
and now you've traumatized.
Raise the topic.
You traumatized our audience.
And
for
you've
that.
Just cool. Traumatized everyone. Thank you, Amy. Thank you. God.
Look,
because I haven't told you to fuck off enough during this episode, isn't it?
If I'm going to be traumatized for the rest of this evening, so can everybody else, but like a week later. Yeah. Got that.
Oh, Lord. So, yeah, look. This is my, that was my lyrics, yeah. I had something else to say and I was holding it, but I don't own it. Oh, no, I do know. Hold on.
Oh, you do know. Hang on.
I got it.
She's
coming
back up.
So come back to me now.
Oh, no, right. Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, you guys are real downers with your fucking stalkers and I'm like fucking, I've got some good shit here. You can eat shit.
Right. You've got a dude who's phoned in some lyrics on some LSD, a guy who is making fun of his brother with a fucking stammer, and
some hawkers
who just love the D.
Yeah. Would you like to one of Nirvana's songs was actually about Courtney Love's vagina, heart-shaped box?
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. I could have gone with any song, but you know.
that was my fun fact after you were talking, Sarah. So I have a Bon Jovi fun fact for our listeners. Bon Jovi, Bianca fun fact, boom boom, bring it up. My dad, I was at my dad's house, right?
Stop it.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Save me. Yes. Okay.
Bon Jovi fun facts.
Bon Jovi fun fact is my dad called me. And I think I was about 12. I was at my grandparents' house on holiday, whatever. My parents wanted to get rid of me. And he's like, Bon Jovi tickets are going on sale. Do you want to go? And I went, who? And he went, yeah, no worries. And he hung up. Oh, I didn't go to Bon Jovi.
At 12, I would have died to go to Bon Jovi.
I know. He just said Bon Jovi. If he hadn't started singing the songs, I would have been like, oh, I love that tune. I don't fucking know who sings shit. All right. Well, look, I'm done. Thanks, guys, for coming to my TED Talk. You know, it was great. Woo! I'm like real drunk.
And we're drunk. We normally do shout outs at about this time.
But it's
January, and January is a miserable bastard. Nobody knows what day it is. Everyone's gone back to work finally now. And we're just all in this sluggish patch where, you know, we should be doing things and we should be active and listening to our friends online. And you're doing
but it's
hot.
No one wants to do anything.
Yeah.
But we're not.
We can mention some podcast that we do love. Like, we love uncredited extras. We do.
Yeah.
We love them.
Yeah.
Two Brothers, One Pilot. We love those guys. What's Up? We love her.
Yes.
The Real Housewives of Reality, The Meat Limit. I mean, I'm still regularly listening to those, but I'm not going out and finding new ones. So, yeah, I have no new shout-outs. However, we did do a little bit of a stats report in our last team meeting, which we have on a Wednesday. So if you want to get some suggestions in, get it in before Wednesday. That's all
I'm
saying.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you so much to our regular listeners. We've had a look at our stats and we've noticed that even over the Christmas New Year break, where a lot of people and a lot of podcasts have gone very, very quiet, as we have stopped listening to a lot. Thank you. Thank you so much. It is very humbling and we are very honoured to know that you guys are still listening to us during this busy period. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Frenchie, I'm so happy you're still here. I thought we'd take a break and you would never come back.
Yeah.
We heckled you every fucking week.
And we're going to continue to do so.
We nearly started calling you Ross. But then you came back. So, yeah. Even though we were on a break, you still came back. It was fine. Oh, so many of our Australian listeners, thank you so much. Aurora, Colorado, Florida, Vegas, New York. I can just like reeling them off at the top of my head. Thank you guys. Thank you for sticking with us. You're a small group, but you're a mighty group and we love you.
Okay. I've had so much fun researching this topic as I did with the other topics over the last few months.
Me too.
However, we would love some topic suggestions from our listeners. If you have a topic which you would love us to discuss, or even just like us to discuss, or would consider us discussing, please email us at FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com. You can also get to us on our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Amy's got onto our Instagram.
If you would like to suggest a topic being who would win in a drug-fueled stick fight between Lou Reed, Andy Warhol, and David Bowie, I am totally down for that. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I've got my money on Bowie already.
Oh, we did get one topic suggestion, which we're going to try and work it out. But watch this space, people. Yeah, we may discuss it after this when we're very drunk.
So to everyone who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time in listening to our utter rubbish. We hope that you have found it entertaining and are not using any of the facts.
Use all of our facts, people. Use them all.
Yeah, use all our facts.
Yeah.
Except for last week when I said that there was only three seasons of Schitt's Creek when there's actually six. Sorry about it.
Yeah, because she's dumb, so it's
fine. Dude, you really fucked that up.
I really fucked that up. I dumb fucked that up, mate.
So don't use anything we say to make important decisions in your life unless it is to buy a murder floof or a protection chainsaw.
Rum, rum.
Can't get enough of murder floofs and protection chainsaws, people. They will keep you safe. They will keep you safe.
Yeah.
So, peace out, guys.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.